At 8 o'clock, it's mostly clear, 21 degrees in Atlantic. We'll look for it to be sunny today with a high around 37. Winds west-northwesterly at 10 to 20 miles per hour, gusting to near 25. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Well, David Young, candidate for Iowa's 3rd Congressional District, was making a tour of southwest Iowa Friday, and one of his stops was here in Atlantic. Young, a 7-year former chief of staff to U.S. Senator Charles Grassley, hopes the voters will elect him to fill the seat being left vacant by 10-term Republican Congressman Tom Latham, who announced last month that he would retire at the end of his term. Young says he's the best candidate for the job because things in Washington are ugly, and he knows from experience what it takes to get things done.
I've already been working for Iowans, penetrating the government on their behalf, whether it's against the EPA, the IRS, trying to help farmers with their payments and folks with their Social Security or Medicare issues. I've already been in there working for Iowa, always kept the Iowa values, always called Iowa home.
He says working for Senator Grassley for 7 years has given him that experience.
You know, when you're working in an office with Iowans out there on the Potomac, you got to be careful not to get Potomac fever. But we always kept each other accountable in the office. And, you know, when you're sitting in meetings with Iowans, and you hear their heartaches. You're on the phone with them, you hear their heartaches, their problems, their issues, and you just want to work that much harder for them. And I learned from Senator Grassley that it's so important to listen to Iowans. It's so important to carry their values and their principles, and that you can be a man of faith as well and not sell your soul out in Washington, D.C.
Young said the gridlock associated with the debt ceiling issue is evidence that members of Congress aren't getting the job done, and fiscal discipline is one way to eliminate the debt ceiling issue. He says he's willing to work to get that done and supports a constitutional amendment to that end.
I will work with whoever on both sides of the aisle to bring in fiscal discipline. You know, we need to balance our budgets. I'm for a constitutional amendment to balance the budget. Mm-hmm. Some people say it's the last resort. It should have been our first resort, but I don't think our founding fathers ever envisioned that we would be doing this. You know, Iowa and 49 states have to balance their budget by state statute or state constitutional amendment. Washington needs to do the same.
And he says President Obama needs to negotiate with Congress on the debt ceiling issue.
You know, the president, he says he'll negotiate with people like Putin and Assad, but he turns his hand to members of Congress who want to work and work on behalf of their constituents and for this country. So I'm hoping that we can get some negotiation on the debt ceiling, some long-term fiscal solutions to balance our budget.
Young says he wants to make the government accountable to its citizens, and that includes empowering the individual states to handle issues such as poverty, health care, and education through the use of block grants. He says if elected, he'll stand up for Iowans' common sense principles. Well, Deborah L. Peterson, the trustee in the bankruptcy case for G&R Feed and Grain Company Incorporated in Portsmouth, reports that since the business filed Chapter 7 bankruptcy on January 1st of last year, she's taken action to collect all funds on deposit, collect all accounts receivable, sell all assets, and collect grain proceeds. Peterson says for the most part that's been completed, but she's still seeking recovery of several post-petition transfers and will be analyzing several possible preferential transfers. She said she's entered into a settlement agreement with Cargill that was also approved by the court. To make a payment now to creditors, she has filed an interim report with the court. The report proposes a payout of 60% on all allowed claims as reported to the court or compromised or comprised thereof, and absent objections or other delays, Peterson anticipates approval of the report in mid-February. Once approved by the court, checks could be mailed by late February of this year for initial distribution. After that process, there will be tax returns and reports to file, fee applications to be approved and paid, and other detail work to conclude the case before a final distribution will be made. The timing and amount of any further distribution is unknown at this time. Now, there will be several fee applications for professionals to be made, tax returns to file, and other reports to be made before the case will be concluded. Peterson has recorded a message that will be updated regularly. You can hear that message at 712-328-8808, option 8. And if you have any legal questions, Peterson advises you to contact an attorney of your choice. Iowa lawmakers are set to return Monday to the Capitol for the 2014 legislative session, but their focus may already be on the campaign trail, as many will be seeking re-election this year. The fact that it's an election year means many lawmakers will want to approve a budget as quickly as possible so they can shift to campaigning. That sentiment seems to be shared by Governor Terry Branstad, who is expected to soon announce a bid for a sixth term. Branstad has announced a list of modest policy goals which legislative leaders have generally endorsed, including expanding internet access, supporting veterans, and cracking down on school bullying. Democrats will likely push for an increase in the minimum wage, but Republicans will oppose the idea, so its passage is unlikely. Governor Branstad says he'll host a public hearing on a proposal that would reduce the amount of ethanol in the nation's fuel supply. Branstad announced Friday the hearing will be in Des Moines on January 23rd. He says he wants to give citizens an opportunity to testify about a recent proposal from the Environmental Protection Agency to reduce the amount of ethanol that must be blended with gasoline in 2014. Iowa is the nation's leading producer of ethanol, a fuel additive primarily made from corn that produces lower carbon emissions than gasoline. The EPA proposal drew outcry by political leaders from both parties who claimed such a move would devastate Iowa's economy. Branstad says he asked White House officials to hold such a hearing, but they declined. Elsewhere in the news, investigators have linked a 1984 triple homicide in southeastern Iowa to a man who was later executed for the murder of a 12-year-old girl. The Iowa Division of Criminal Investigation announced Friday that new DNA evidence implicates Andrew Six in the bludgeoning deaths of 20-year-old Justin Hook Jr., Hook's fiancée, 19-year-old Tina Lade, and Hook's mother, 41-year-old Sarah Link. Missouri authorities executed Six by lethal injection in 1997 for the 1987 kidnapping and murder of 12-year-old Kathy Allen. Six and his uncle kidnapped the girl from the Allen family trailer in Ottumwa, slit her throat, and dumped her body in northern Missouri. Retired DCI supervisor Sam Swaim said that Six was always a suspect in the earlier triple homicide, but investigators did not have enough evidence to charge him. Authorities say four people are dead and two injured following a collision in northeast Iowa. The Fayette County Sheriff's Office and 28-year-old Sharif Hussein Orsam, age 28 of Postville, was driving a Toyota van westbound Friday morning on Highway 18 northeast of Claremont. Authorities say he lost control of the vehicle and struck an eastbound Chevy truck driven by 57-year-old Tony Allen Schley of Elgin. Schley's car was pulling a trailer with bale. Orsam and three passengers were killed, 34-year-old Miski Yahi Mohammed, 53-year-old Kajido Mohammed, and 25-year-old Marianne Kulain, all of whom were from Postville. Schley and his passenger, 58-year-old Pamela Ann Schley, also of Elgin, were extricated from the vehicle and taken by ambulance to a nearby hospital in serious condition. Authorities are investigating the death of a Missouri truck driver whose body was found near a rest stop in central Iowa. The Story County Sheriff's Office said the 51-year-old man was found dead in his truck Wednesday night at a rest stop off of Interstate 35. Captain Barry Thomas said that a Missouri Police Department contacted Iowa officials Wednesday night about an overdue truck driver. Authorities traced his cell phone to the rest stop. The driver's name has not been released, nor has any other information been released. Authorities do not believe foul play was involved. And authorities say a Delhi man has been arrested in connection with a December crash that killed a Dyersville woman. The Department of Public Safety says that Dean Dempster III was charged Friday with homicide by vehicle. Dempster was the driver of a pickup truck that veered off the road 2 miles east of Earlville and rolled on December 21st. Dempster and four other people were injured. Another passenger, 23-year-old Brittany Honkap, died in the crash. Dempster was being held in the Delaware County Jail with bond set at $500,000. And taking a look at the funeral announcements, Chester Pete Krogstad, age 94 of Elkhorn, died Sunday in Bellevue, Nebraska. Funeral services for Pete Krogstad will be held today at 10 o'clock at the Elkhorn Lutheran Church. Odie Funeral Home in Kimbleton has the arrangements. Mildred Millie Mueller, age 90 of Griswold and formerly of Atlantic, died Monday at the Griswold Care Center. Memorial services for Millie Mueller will be today at 10:30 at the Central Church of Christ in Griswold. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. Harold Dwayne Lamb, age 86 of Linden, died Wednesday in Panora. Memorial services for Harold Lamb will be today at 2 o'clock at the Twig Funeral Home in Panora. Terry Lee Layton, age 54 of Atlantic, died Thursday at her home. A memorial visitation for Terry Lee Layton will be held on Monday from 5 until 7 p.m. at the Dune Funeral Home in Griswold. Clara Grimm Betts, age 89 of Chillicothe, Illinois, and formerly of Coon Rapids, died Friday. Funeral services for Clara Betts will be held April 12th at the First United Methodist Church in Coon Rapids. Odie Funeral Home in Coon Rapids has arrangements. Michael B. Bramer, age 52 of Panora, died Wednesday. No services are planned for Michael Bramer. Twig Funeral Home in Panora is in charge of the arrangements. Robert Brundage, age 92 of Irwin, died Friday in Harlan. Services for Robert Brundage are pending at the Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan. And Geraldine Brown, age 85 of Oakland, died this morning at the Oakland Manor. Services for Geraldine Brown are pending at the Reconvieth Funeral Home in Oakland. That is a check of our news and funeral announcements on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.